Biblical tradition holds that Egypt's Mount Sinai is the place where God revealed the Ten Commandments to Moses. Later, Christians built one of their first monasteries there. Today, the site is a major tourist attraction. It's just a couple of hours' drive from beach resorts on the Red Sea, a quick day trip pilgrimage for the faithful. But tourism may be harming the local environment, as NPR's Kate Seeley reports.
It's a steep climb up to the peak of Mount Sinai. At 3 a.m., hundreds of pilgrims and tourists, some on camelback, make the arduous two-hour trek up the mountain, their flashlights bobbing in the dark. The payoff is a brilliant sunrise over the jagged red mountain peaks of southern Sinai. For many, like Australian preacher David MacDonald, it's a profoundly moving experience.
Just to re-step those steps that Moses did, and thinking how cold was it up here for him, but still, it's just wonderful. This is incredible.
But for the mountain and some of its residents, the growing influx of tourists has been taxing. At the base of Mount Sinai sits St. Catherine's Monastery, home to 25 Greek Orthodox monks. Built in the 6th century AD on the supposed spot of the burning bush, where the Bible says God revealed himself to Moses, the site is believed to be the oldest continuously inhabited monastery in the world. For centuries, monks have come here for a life of contemplation and prayer. But these days, their sanctuary is flooded with tourists, eager to see what is said to be the original bush, still flourishing, and the monastery's rich collection of icons. American-born monk Father Justin says at times the monastery feels besieged.
This was built for a few people living in silence and isolation. It wasn't built for crowds. And the number of people that come here is quite a recent phenomenon. January and February, there can be over 1,000 people a day crowding in during the 3 hours that were open.
In the year 2000, Mount Sinai drew more than 300,000 tourists, triple the number just 4 years before. The environmental impact of growing tourism was beginning to show well before then. The path up the mountain was strewn with garbage and plastic water bottles. Lacking public toilets, the mountaintop reeked of human excrement. Unsightly hotels were sprouting up in the nearby village. Fearing long-term damage from the environmental pressure, Egyptian authorities established the St. Catherine's Protectorate in 1996 with funding from the European Union. Englishman John Granger, who was hired to manage the protectorate, says officials recognized the potential dangers.
They felt that the form of tourism and the tourism activities that were beginning to emerge were incompatible with the nature of the place. And there was a great concern about the impact on the local environment, impact on water supplies, impact actually on historical landscapes, just sheer physical impact as well as biological impact.
The protectorate covers more than 1,700 square miles of some of the Middle East's most diverse desert habitat. High granite and basalt mountains dotted with natural springs support hundreds of plant species, including many that local Bedouin use for medicinal purposes. Wildlife from ibex to hyenas to wolves roam the area, though numerous species are endangered, and others, like the Sinai leopard, are believed to be extinct. Today, the protectorate runs a range of projects, including the removal of garbage by camelback from Mount Sinai, tourism management, and the restoration of plant and animal life. Granger believes tourism and conservation can coexist if managed properly, and he says local people must be involved.
Because they're the major stakeholders, they're the residents, and therefore they should be one of the primary beneficiaries of the development of the protectorate. And as the users of the resources, natural resources, they should be the best stewards of those resources.
With that in mind, the protectorate established the Bedouin Support Project. Some 7,000 of these once nomadic people live inside the protectorate, surviving primarily off of animal grazing and tourism-related activities. Traditionally marginalized by Egyptian authorities, the Bedouin now receive 10% of the park's budget, which they use to build roads and dams and develop local income-generating projects like handicraft making. The protectorate, in turn, encourages the Bedouin to play an active role in protecting their environment. Some 25 so-called community guards have been hired from among the park's 6 tribes. They serve not only as environmental monitors, garbage collectors, first aid attendants, and guides, but as liaisons between the protectorate and their communities. 40-year-old community guard Gamil Atiyah says a critical part of his job is convincing his own community to help conserve their fragile ecosystem. If anyone is involved in quarrying or removing trees or hunting, says Atiyah, I warn him the first time and say it's not allowed. It's for his sake, to protect his environment. Park manager John Granger says, despite its many accomplishments, the protectorate still faces major environmental challenges. But he says he's hopeful it will eventually serve as a model for park management elsewhere in the Middle East. Kate Seeley, NPR News, Mount Sinai.